how can I be saved? The Apostle Paul was asked, what must I do to be saved? And the question was simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Faith must be accompanied with works, and our works don't work. We need the works of God. And when Jesus was asked in John chapter 6, what must we do to work the works of God? His answer was, believe on him whom God hath sent. So when we believe that Jesus Christ was sent into the world to die in our place for our sins, and that he was raised to give us eternal life, that is the gospel that we believe, and that's what saves us. For our faith is counted for righteousness, not our behavior. It's our faith in Christ which is counted for righteousness, not our moralistic deeds. It's our faith which is counted for righteousness, not our keeping the commandments, though we should do them the best we can. But it's our faith that is counted for righteousness, not anything that we could do or produce by our own personality. Salvation is a free gift. What salvation gives you before God, when you stand before God on Judgment Day, if you stood there in your own righteousness, you will be standing there in your self-righteousness, which is an abomination before God. The only righteousness which can stand before God in judgment is the righteousness of Christ, which covers you if you have placed your faith in his death, blood, and resurrection for the forgiveness of your lifetime sins and for eternal life. It's a one-time process, forever active. The Bible says, by one offering of Christ has he perfected forever those who are sanctified. And then it states in Hebrews that we are sanctified by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. So, the one offering we need was offered 2,000 years ago, and it curated the sins of all mankind. The Bible states that God was in Christ, bringing the world unto himself, not charging their sins against them. No matter the sins of your past or the sins of your future, they have all been paid for 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ came to do what? Take away the sins not only of the Christian, he took away the sins of the entire world. And now the only sin that you have to repent of is your unbelief. You must change your mind. Repent means to change one's mind. You must change your mind about how you're going to get to heaven. It won't be by your good works, your generosity, your philanthropy, how good you treat your neighbor. Any atheist can do everything that a Christian can do except confess with his mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in his heart that God raised him from the dead. And that means our salvation. Salvation is a free gift. You can't work for it. You can't work to keep it. Some people teach a lordship salvation where if I'm really saved, then I'll do this, and I'll do this, and I'll do this, and I'll do this. No, you won't. As you can see in your own life, if you're a Christian, look in the mirror. You're not doing all you should do. The only part of you that is born of God is Christ in you. For it is written, whosoever is born of God does not and cannot sin. 1 John chapter 3. And the only part of you that cannot sin because it is born of God is Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. Your human nature still, according to Romans chapter 7 verse 25, serves the law of sin. The only difference now, since you have Christ in your heart, is that when your human nature serves the law of sin, it doesn't result in your eternal damnation or death, because Christ paid the penalty for your sins. He wants you now to renew your mind and to get into his word so you can know his ways and his will for your life. A lot of Christians today bring shame upon the gospel because they do not live their lives in a disciplined manner. That's why Christ said, go make disciples. Not everybody that believes that Christ died for their sins and rose again will become disciples. Disciples mean that you are in the discipline. It's much like if you were accepted into Harvard. You've been accepted in the beloved, as Jesus Christ would say. So let's say you've been accepted into Harvard. If you go to Harvard, you're accepted on the campus, they've given you a student packet and all that you need to go forth and learn your discipline, but you don't go to class. You don't apply your heart to study. You don't discipline yourself to go to the class, to listen to the teacher. You do whatever you want to do. Well, as a Harvard student, you're a failure. Same in Christianity. Though you are a Christian, a lot of people, when they don't discipline themselves to live in accordance to what is written in the New Testament Word of God, they are failures as Christians, although they are saved. The Bible says, if you break my commandments, if you're born again, and you teach others to do so, and then that means break my commandments also, you shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. I used to teach, you won't even make it to heaven if you're breaking the commandments and teaching others to do also. But I did not understand what the new birth was. The new birth is our ticket to heaven. It's Christ being born into our hearts by faith. He's in us. And if we are obeying the word and growing in grace, the Bible says the grace of God teaches us how to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and how to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. But a lot of Christians, they receive the gift of eternal life by believing that Christ died for their sins and rose for their justification before God. But they don't apply their hearts unto wisdom. They don't follow the instructions in righteousness. They don't receive the correction of Scripture. So they continue to live carnally, which means fleshly, lives just like the world. So the world, when they see you, they say, you're no different than me. You go to the same parties I go to. You go to the same clubs that I go to. You do the same things that I do. What makes you better than me? And because they're looking at your outward appearance, it's hard for you to tell them that it's not about me. It's about Christ in me. I've accepted the Savior into my heart by faith. And they don't want to hear your testimony because you have not produced the life in front of them worthy sometimes. Other times they will. But again, salvation is so simple. The Bible says that a wayfaring man cannot err therein. It's so simple that even nowadays they have the cliche that even a caveman can do it. That you believe that Christ died for your sins and rose again, and you shall be saved. It's not so much couched in a sinner's prayer. It's about your belief. Do you believe in your heart that after Christ died in your place for your sins, taking all the punishment that God had for the world and placed it upon his son, and that his son went to hell and suffered for our sins and was raised the third day according to the scriptures to give us eternal life. If you believe that, the Bible says God sent the spirit of his son into your heart crying, Abba, Father. Now you can live with him in your heart quenched. You can live with him in your heart grieved. When you don't obey the instructions in righteousness, Christ in you is grieved. Christ in you is quenched when you don't speak his word. If you don't have knowledge of him, he cannot grow. He's like a seed. He's planted in your heart as the incorruptible seed, indestructible seed that cannot be uprooted. He's there. He said, I'll live and abide with you forever. And it's now about you going to hell. It's about you receiving rewards by giving glory unto God. There are a lot of Christians who live just worldly lives as if they were not saved. And they can end up with AIDS. They can end up with a whole lot of diseases that they could have avoided had they taken heed to the instructions in righteousness. But they went ways that do not profit all the time, and you do reap what you sow, including and up to death. The thief on the cross still died for his sins that he committed before he was saved. Because your natural man, whatsoever your natural man soweth, that shall he also reap, up to and including in that case, capital punishment, although his soul was saved by Jesus Christ himself. But again, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now you're at the starting gate. Now you've been accepted into Harvard University. Now let's go to study in growth in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ so that you can be a disciple as a good ambassador for our Lord.
To begin your growth in grace, I invite you to click on the Good News Bible Study Scroll.